The cliffhanger in Britain we've been reporting on all week may have become more of a close call for British Prime Minister Theresa May. May's decision to hold elections 3 years ahead of schedule to gain a bigger parliamentary majority and a stronger hand for the Conservative Party in upcoming Brexit negotiations may actually make things more difficult for the Tories. But it's still been a tightening race with a strong showing from opposition Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn. Tim Bale is a professor of politics at Queen Mary University of London, and he says May's gamble looks a little reckless as voters go to the polls.
She hasn't fought a particularly impressive campaign. She called this election in order to increase her majority, which was pretty slim in the House of Commons. If she doesn't improve it by 30, 40 seats, I think most Conservatives will wonder whether it was worth calling the election in the first place. And it might make it a little bit more difficult to get the legislation that she needs to get through for Brexit.
How much does she need more of a cushion in Parliament to have flexibility on Brexit?
It's difficult to calculate the numbers precisely, but there are about 30 Eurosceptic ultras or headbangers, as they're sometimes called, who would really prefer us to completely crash out of the EU without any kind of deal. Most Conservatives, it has to be said, don't want that outcome. If her majority is still a slim one, then she is going to be dependent on those people, and that will make it a lot harder to actually compromise with the EU and get some kind of free trade deal with it. So she really is going to be looking, I think, still at a majority of about 50 or so to retain that kind of cushion that she was looking for.
Were you one of the folks who, when Corbyn was running last time against Cameron, who viewed Corbyn as someone with no new ideas, who was absolutely bereft of an ability to inspire the nation? And now, boom, we've seen something completely different.
Well, I was certainly a Corbyn skeptic, I will admit. But what he has been able to do is not necessarily inspire the nation, but inspire a particular part of the nation. He seems to have mobilised Labour's base, and Labour's base in particular among people who haven't voted before and among young people, much as, if you like, Bernie Sanders was able to do in the Democratic primaries in the United States. Whether that will actually do him much good in a general election, however, is another matter, because, of course, one thing we know about people who don't usually vote is they don't usually vote. And one thing we know about young people, particularly in this country, they don't vote that much either. So getting them to the polling stations and actually getting them to cast a ballot may be difficult. That's why, although the election looks as if Labour has been closing on the Conservatives, I'm not sure it'll be quite as close as everybody thinks.
And what's the chance of a huge surprise like Brexit? And what, if anything, is going to cause this tightening momentum to plateau?
Well, I mean, I think there's always a chance. I mean, you know, Brexit was a surprise to many people. The election of Donald Trump was a surprise to many of us, at least over here. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to write it off completely. In terms of what will actually block Labour's momentum, I think it will probably be when people go into the ballot box and close their eyes and think whether they can imagine Jeremy Corbyn as the Prime Minister of this country. And I think when it comes down to that decision, many people will flip over to Theresa May, even if they like some of the policies that the Labour leader has been talking about over the last 2 or 3 weeks.
It's curious, this result, that even though the terrorism incident seemed to accelerate the closing of the polls, when separate polling was done on who has confidence in whom regarding security, May clearly won that one.
She did clearly win that one, but she also has a record to defend. And in some ways, unfortunately for her, she was Home Secretary and therefore in charge of policing and in charge of security, and therefore is vulnerable to the accusation made by Labour that she underfunded those services for the last 5 or 6 years due to the Conservatives' austerity policies. So the Labour accusation that something more needed to be done and rather sooner, I think, does have some traction. On the other hand, of course, her criticisms of Mr. Corbyn as being soft on terrorism, he's voted against every single piece of anti-terror legislation in his career in Parliament, which is a long one, and he's on record as being opposed to Shoot to Kill, although he denies it now, probably does play against him.
Professor Bale, we are so used to in the United States focusing on the personalities of candidates who you want to have a beer with, those kinds of things. But, you know, ultimately, it's get out the vote. And who's got the better machine here?
In that respect, I think we see two quite different parties. The Labour Party has put on a lot of members over the last 2 or 3 years, and it's the contention of those activists that that will make a big difference. In other words, they've got boots on the ground that the Conservative Party hasn't got. I think the Conservative Party is in trouble in terms of membership. Its members are slightly older and slightly less active than Labour members. But what the Conservative Party does have is an effective machine, quite a lot of money to spend, particularly on digital advertising. So we're seeing, in some senses, two different models of campaigning here. We're seeing membership versus money, if you like, and I think money in the end may well make the difference.
Tim Bale is a professor of politics at Queen Mary University of London. He spoke with us from London. Thanks so much, Professor.
Thanks a lot.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.